Yesterday was accumulation of months and months of planning and plotting and secret missions. Pastor Rob and I, it was laid on our heart actually almost 3 years ago when we came to help someone in our church who is very humble and very giving and had a house that desperately needed a paint job. And so we had been talking about doing it last year, and as you know, last year life happened for Rob and I, and we were not able to do it last year. And so this year, when we went to calendar planning in November, I said, I want to paint this house. Who will help me? And we put it on the calendar, and the board got behind us, and this has been a work in progress for a long time. We have thanks to Carolyn's family, who shuttled her out of the county for the day so that we could get this accomplished. And so I just want to show you a video of what it looks like when the church comes together to bless someone who's in a need of a blessing. So, here we go. Sure, that's fine. If you helped yesterday, would you please stand? Thank you guys so much for making an idea come true. That was really fun. There were so many neat things about yesterday, but maybe the neatest moment for me as one of your pastors was when we were about halfway through the day and fair to middle and tuckered out already with a half a house to finish. Dale says to me, "So what are we doing next year?" And I was like, "That's right. That's right. What are we doing next year?" So that's why I wanted to compile a video and show you. We had to do it all secret this year because we didn't want Carolyn to know. And so I think that didn't get quite as far as we would have liked to for people to know that this was going on. It's important to read those emails that come from Algona Faith because we were trying to be subversive. You know, kindness is subversive at its heart. But we would like to maybe consider doing something like this again. And the more people we have, the easier a project like this is. If you're like, "Oh man, I wish that I could have been there. I was moving that weekend, or I was painting my own house, or I was on the golf course, or whatever." No one was on the golf course. We don't golf, I know. But if you're like, "Man, I really would have liked to help with that. That looked like a neat day." Guess what? We have another opportunity in like 10 days, a bait, right? And it will be air conditioned for a bait. And there's no ladders involved, last I checked. So be sure and sign up in the hallway. There's a paper there, a chart. You can see what the shifts are. We need help like every day. So if you can put in any time at all, we'll be super grateful. So I showed that video because the theme for this morning is go be kind. Go be kind. And I want to point out, the kids are dismissed. Thank you guys. I hope you liked the video. Wasn't that cool? Yeah. I know. The whole day I was like, "Lord, what we need now is a video montage." You know how you're watching a movie and like they're like, "We're going to do X, Y, and Z." And then like they put on the cool music and the pictures flash forward really fast and they get it done in like, I don't know, 30 seconds. I was like, "Lord, that's what we need is a 30-second video montage and the house is done." But it didn't work like that. 11 hours is what it actually took. And there's actually a little tiny bit left that we could use some help on if you're not afraid of heights. There's one last coat up there, and I'm looking at Paul. Paul was on a ladder up in the air all day long. Bruce, too. Those guys are heroes in my book. So Rob was on the roof, all of them. It was fantastic. Anyway, so we're talking about going and being kind. Algona, I don't know if you've noticed, is in the middle of a Go Be Kind campaign. That's what these blue bracelets are about, going and being kind. And I want to remind you that we are people of Algona, right? Or at least of the surrounding area. We're all people of somewhere, and we see this in the Bible. We see Saul was of Tarsus, Joseph of Arimathea, Jesus of Nazareth, and then we have Pastor Anna of Algona, right? We're all someone of somewhere. God, in his sovereignty, has placed us here in this community or in a surrounding community. He wants to build his kingdom here, in us and through us. He wants to build his kingdom in Algona, in Burt, in Whittemore, in Emmitsburg, in Wesley, in Corwith, in Bancroft and Lakota. He wants to build his kingdom through us and in us. And so one of the things that I've done in an effort to more fully wrap my arms around the city of Algona is to join the Algona Chamber Ambassadors, thus the blue shirt. My son asked me on the way out this morning, "Do you have a chamber meeting this morning, Mom?" I just wanted to emphasize that I'm of Algona now. God has called me and Pastor Rob and our family to live here and to love and build a kingdom here, his kingdom. So on the Chamber Ambassadors team, we meet once a month to plan and staff events, and then also we gather weekly to celebrate our local businesses. We have a weekly coffee. Anybody can come to them. They're posted in their paper. They're on the Facebook Algona website, or sorry, the Algona Chamber of Commerce website. You can see where we're going to be, and it's just a great opportunity to meet people and build relationships. And so that's a big part of the reason I have become a part of this Chamber Ambassadors group. So the Chamber recently launched a program to combat some of the negativity that we've seen in our culture. It's become so predominant that people are critical of each other, they're accusatory, they are argumentative. I don't know if any of you have noticed that, but the Chamber noticed it, and so they've launched this campaign of Go Be Kind, and the bracelets look like this. So I've had several opportunities to actually hear Vicki Mallory, our chamber director, speak about this campaign and the heart behind it. The idea is actually pretty simple. You wear a bracelet, you be a kind person, and you catch other people being kind. When you see that happen, you take your bracelet off and you give it to the other person and say, thank you for being kind. Please pass this along. And then you get another bracelet and repeat it. Pretty cool, right? So it's kind of like when you're a parent and your kids are doing things you don't want them to do, the idea is that you catch them doing something right, right? And then you celebrate that, you exploit that. You go, oh, good job. Hey, Susie, I'm so glad that you remembered to say please or thank you or pick up your room when you were done or put the trash away or whatever it is you caught them doing right. This is the same kind of mindset that will catch people being kind. When I first heard about this campaign, I thought, oh my goodness, the church should be the best at this. We should lead the way in being kind, right? And so I brought home my little paper and brought it to Pastor Rob and said, I think we need to do this. I think we should be really excited about being kind. And he agreed. So what does kindness look like? What is kindness in your life? It's actually pretty simple and most of the time fairly inexpensive. It looks like saying please and thank you, right? Have you noticed how that's gone out the wayside? Saying please and thank you. Not interrupting someone when they're talking, when they're saying something, especially if they're sharing their heart, that you would pause and hear the whole thing and try to process what they're saying from their perspective. Opening the door for another person. You're going into a place of business or a restaurant or your home or a car. That's being kind. Sending a note, just a note of encouragement. Hey, I thought of you today. I'm praying for you. And you know what's even faster than a note? A text message. It's not quite as neat as a handmade or a handwritten note in the mail, but a text message still says, hey, you were on my mind today and I care about you. Siri, hey Siri, text so-and-so. I love you and you have a great face. Send, done. And you just encourage someone, right? So that's an easy way to be kind. Sharing is kind. We all know this from kindergarten. A snack, ice cream, a story, sharing a smile, sharing your time, sharing your resources, sharing some encouragement. Any kind of resource that we share can speak kindness to other people. Going out of your way to do something for someone else, to remember someone else, to include someone else. Making eye contact. I've noticed when I'm checking out places that this is a lost art. You know, sometimes I'm at Walmart, very rarely anymore because I usually leave with high blood pressure when I go to Walmart. But it's mostly the plastic bags. Has anybody noticed that like toilet paper is now thicker than the plastic bags from Walmart? It's true, check it out. Anyway, so the last time I was at Walmart, I had this thing on the pay thing. You know what I'm talking about, that little pay receptacle? And it's like quick survey. Was your cashier friendly today, or did they greet you, or something like that? And I'm like, the question should be, did your cashier have a pulse? Because they didn't even acknowledge my existence in this interaction today. But that's exactly where kindness comes in and can be so subversive. You know, if they're ignoring you, hey, how are you today? What's going on? What's on your mind? Long day? Is your shift almost done? I've found that almost every time you ask someone if their shift is almost done, they will open up and start talking to you. That's the easiest question you can ask a cashier, and they'll just start speaking to you. But make eye contact. Make eye contact with people when you're talking to them, and then treat others the way you want to be treated. I read that in a book somewhere. Treat others the way you want to be treated. That is being kind. So you can see why I heard about this campaign and I'm like, Christians should be the best at this. Algona Faith people should be the kindest people in our community. Why? Because kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. And we claim to be Spirit-filled people. So let's revisit the fruits of the Spirit this morning. And instead of just jumping right into the typical verses that everybody knows, I actually want to back it up a little bit, a little further in chapter 5 of Galatians. And we're going to look at Galatians here and realize that it's written by Apostle Paul. It's helpful to remember that Apostle Paul has a story behind him. right? He had been a Jewish leader who was bent on persecuting Christians. He had breathed murderous threats towards the early church. We read that in scripture. He actually stood over the stoning of Stephen, the first martyr. So Paul apparently has an incredible heart change after his encounter with Christ on the road, right? He's a completely different person. The scripture says the scales fell off of his eyes. Not only was he radically and wonderfully saved, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, this is the guy who's writing to the church at Galatia. He's writing a completely different heart change than what he'd had previously. He became the champion of the early church and the first missionary. This is the guy who writes Galatia about two types of nature, the sinful nature and the spiritual nature. So we're going to pick up in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 25. And it says, "The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have been crucified to the sinful nature with its passions and its desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." So Paul, the man who had gone from murdering to missions, reminds us that there are two possible natures, and we must choose the way that we're going to go, the way of the flesh or the way of the Spirit. We're going to produce stuff no matter what. It's what people do. By nature, we are producers, and we're either going to produce the fruits of the flesh or the fruits of the Spirit. So what are the fruits of the flesh? Paul listed them for us, and this is a hard list. Some of these things you're going to go, not a problem. And other ones you're going to go, don't read my internal diary, right? So the fruits of the flesh include sexual immorality, impurity, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, jealousy, rage, selfish ambition, dissensions. We're getting into scary territory. Factions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, and orgies. Some of those we go, that's not a problem. But other of those things are going, I still have some heart issues that need worked out. At least I do, reading that list. So those are the fruits of the flesh. But the fruits of the Spirit are in high contrast. They include love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I can remember reading this as a little kid and loving how Paul says it, against which there are no law. I always thought that was like New Testament humor. Like, okay, there's never been anyone who's been prosecuted for an excessive amount of joy. I'm sorry, sir, I'm going to have to flag you down. You are just too happy. That doesn't happen, right? We don't lock people up for having too much self-control. Oh my goodness, you just really need to lose it. No, that's not a thing, right? We don't flag people down for an excessive amount of kindness or kindness without a permit, right? There's no law against that. You won't get a ticket for being patient and gentle, right? There's no law against the fruits of the Spirit. In contrast, the fruits of the flesh, there's all kinds of laws that say, don't do that. But there's no limit on the fruits of the Spirit. No law, no regulation. Kindness, along with all of his cousins, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, they are all fruits of the Spirit, which I know that you know. But have you ever thought about the fact that we can only consistently produce the fruits of the Spirit when we are walking with the Spirit? When we wander from him, that's when we start reproducing the fruits of the flesh again. That's when we have a hard time rooting out the fruits of the flesh. This should be easiest for us in this building because we claim to be Spirit-filled Christians. We've been going through Dr. Wood's Spirit-filled life in Sunday school class, and last week's lesson was a light bulb moment for me. See, in the Assemblies of God, we spend so much time talking and preaching and pushing the initial physical evidence of the Holy Spirit. Let me take a quick test here. What is the initial physical evidence of the Holy Spirit? See, you passed the test and proved my point. We talk about that a lot. It's not wrong to talk about that a lot. It's wrong to talk about that and leave it there, that you need the initial physical evidence and nothing beyond that. I'm concerned that in our enthusiasm that we've almost made speaking in tongues a badge of honor. Like when you've received the IPE, that's what my textbooks called it, they shortened initial physical evidence to IPE. When you receive the initial physical evidence, you are a real, full-fledged Christian and no further testing needed. And I'm here to tell you this morning that that is wrong, that that is simply not true. I can understand how we get to that point and how our preaching may come off that way, because when you do get filled, that initial infilling is so crazy, powerful, wonderful that it feels like you've suddenly arrived to a whole new plane. But what you did was just lock your feet in the starting blocks and push off. It's not a badge of honor. It's a beginning. It's a place where we go from and move forward. That initial physical evidence is not meant to be a badge that we've arrived spiritually. It's an equipping, an empowerment, an entrance point to keep moving in Christ. That's why it's important that we are filled and refilled. Amen. That it's not just a one-time occurrence. Wow, I spoke in tongues at camp, woohoo! Speak in tongues at home, and then I'll be impressed on a regular basis because it will change your life. See, the Holy Spirit is in our lives and in our flesh to serve two purposes. First, to empower us to be witnesses, and secondly, to deepen our worship. Meaning that the Spirit draws us deeper and deeper into the things of God for the express purpose of making a bigger impact on this world. Because it's proven over and over again, the more we love God, the more we love others. And when our awe and our reverence for God grows, our love for others grows as well. And when we love God and we love others, we impact the world. It's that simple. I humbly submit to you this morning, if the Spirit isn't gaining ground in and around us, we may not be utilizing this gift to its full extent. If the Holy Spirit isn't gaining ground in and around us, we're not using him to the full extent. We're not exploiting the full relationship, all the benefits of this relationship. We don't get filled with the Holy Spirit so we can speak in some new freaky language. We get filled with the Holy Spirit so that we are emboldened and equipped and empowered to love God and his people better. And the longer we're Spirit-filled, the more that should show up in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are the fruits, the byproducts of a spirit-filled life. We see this super clearly in John chapter 15, when Jesus is giving his disciples further instructions for after his homegoing. He shares with them how he is the vine and they are the branches. And verse 4 clarifies just how we can grow good fruit. Jesus looks at his disciples and he says, "Remain in me as I have remained in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." I'm convinced that he's talking about spiritual fruit, the fruits of the Spirit. We cannot produce them if we aren't remaining in Christ. Our goal is not production. Wait, this is so countercultural. Our goal is not production. It's not how many houses we paint or how many cans of food we give out or how many hours we clock in community service. Our goal is not production. Our goal is abiding, which will in turn result in fruit production. So we're not looking at the end result. We're looking at the immediate moment. Am I abiding in Christ? Am I obedient to his Spirit? Am I surrendered to his will for right now? Algona Faith, we are a Spirit-filled church, a Spirit-led church. We are not an initial physical evidence. I got the badge and now I'm good and I can go back to my regular me-first living kind of church. We're Spirit-filled. We're Spirit-led. And if we aren't, we need to correct that. We're not about that IPE, the initial physical evidence. We are for that because it is a necessary toll booth on the way to Spirit-led living. We pause there so that we can gain entry and push on and with the gas and see some results in our Christian life. We are about being Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. We are about abiding, which will result in producing. Spirit-filled living is a surrendered life, a life that continually produces the fruits of the Spirit as a direct result of our ongoing intimacy with Christ. Dr. Wood points out that the fruits of the Spirit are the character of Christ. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control, so on. That's the character of Jesus. And so the Holy Spirit in us makes us more like him. So we look and think and act and talk more like Christ. The truth is that the world struggles to stay kind. The truth is that without the Spirit, we slide back to our flesh nature so quickly. I don't even need to point this out because you know it. You can turn on the TV and flip to the radio and spend 20 minutes in the break room with your coworker, and you know that kindness is not our natural flesh reaction, right? We see moments of kindness and random acts of kindness, but Spirit-filled Christians should have the corner market on kindness. It's our default. In fact, I had to laugh this last year with all these estate dealings with lawyers and auctioneers and insurance companies. Multiple times I was told by powerful people in my life, "You are being too kind, Anna. They don't take you seriously because you're too kind." And I said, "That's because I'm not supposed to do this. This isn't my life. This isn't who I really am. This is a season, but I'm really a Christian who loves her people and wants to just get everybody to get along." And that just didn't work very well with estate dealings because it didn't take me seriously. But being kind is who we're supposed to be. It's supposed to be that spirit nature made alive in us. So what happens when we're not abiding? I go back to the estate situation. I'll tell you, there were times I was so busy dealing with estate details that I was struggling to maintain abiding in my own life, and then ugly would come out. That's what happens when we stop abiding. Do you know what I'm talking about? We get frustrated. We speak back too quickly. We get snippy or snarky, as my daughter calls it, salty. You're being salty, Mom. I'm like, we're supposed to be salt and light. What's wrong with that? That's not what I mean, Mom. Okay. When we aren't abiding, we don't feel kind. We're tempted to be ugly. When people are irritating, when they're frustrating, when they're maddening, what do? The first thing we do is we have to stop and remember it's not them, it's us. It's that old breakup line. It's not you, it's me. Most of the time when people are having a problem with us, we're the problem. Or when we're having a problem with others, we're the problem. We got to remember that it's us, and it's a lack of abiding that is interfering with the fruit that's meant to grow freely and repeatedly in our lives. So when you find yourself tempted to be unkind, and maybe you won't, but I certainly will, you need to stop and remember to think, it's not you, it's me. I've fallen out of step with the Spirit. That's what's causing the friction right now. I'm not being Spirit-led. I'm not abiding. I'm not allowing His fruit to be produced in my life because I'm not with Him in this moment. So what do we do next? We slow down. Pretending you're in kindergarten, take a time out. Breathe. Climb in a closet if you need to and start praying in the Spirit. Ask Him to trim back those old acts of the flesh, to cut back the bad branches and burn them up forever. Lord, we don't want that in our life. We want Your fruit in our life, and we know the way we get that is by abiding. So we ask Him instead to help us abide and to produce the fruit in keeping with the kingdom, in keeping with repentance. Church, we don't want to just participate in this Algona-wide commitment to be kind. I don't want to just commit. I want to lead the way, right? We're Spirit-filled people. We can do this. I want us to walk in a way that influences our community for the kingdom. I want to live out that scripture. And to me, the fruits of the Spirit are the way we're going to do that. And the way we're going to grow those fruits is by abiding, by staying in step. So we're going to pass out the Go Be Kind bracelets. Pastor Rob, do you want to do that? We're going to pass these out, and I encourage you to take one with an agenda to be kind. I would like you to wear it. I'd like you to be kind. I'd like you to watch for people to pass your bracelet along to give it away and come back and repeat the process. But more than that, I'd like to pass this out with a secret agenda. Are you guys in? Secret agendas are fun, right? If they're godly, they're fun. It's a godly secret agenda. As long as you have this bracelet on your wrist, let it be a reminder of your personal commitment to abide. From that command from Christ to stay close, to stay connected, to stay grafted into the vine. Galatians 5:25, the end of our reading today, said it this way: since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Sometimes I just need a blatant reminder in my life to live out the disciplines I'm trying to drive into my brain. I don't know about you, but that's just how my head works. And so I thought, if we put this bracelet on, and not only will it remind us to be kind, but we can remember, hey, kindness is a fruit of the Spirit, and the only way I'm going to grow the fruits of the Spirit is by abiding. Let this bracelet remind you to abide, to stay connected. And one of the best ways to stay in step with the Holy Spirit is to pray in the Spirit. He keeps us connected to Christ. Remember that the ongoing evidence of a Spirit-filled life is seen in fruit production. And you and I, no matter how hard we try, we cannot bear down and produce fruit on our own. But we can choose to abide daily. and daily abiding will produce fruit. So are you guys in? Put your wrist up if you're in. Yeah, we're going to abide and we're going to be kind as a result of our abiding, right? Amen. Dear Lord God, we thank you so much for this time this morning. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, Lord, not a badge of honor, but a toll booth, a stop on the way to the more full life in Christ. Lord, help us this morning, wherever we're at in our walk with you. Lord, if we've just made a decision to love you more, Lord, if we're still unsure about your Spirit, or we're still praying to receive the fullness of your Holy Spirit, or maybe we've been filled for years and years, but Lord, we recognize that we leak and that we need more of you. Lord, we want to be fruit producers, but we understand that we can't look at the fruit and as the end goal. We need to back up and look at abiding, which is a day in and day out process. Lord, may these bracelets remind us to abide. May they be a mark on our arm that says, stay connected to me and I'll help you love others. We recognize that loving others is difficult, is uncomfortable, is sometimes messy and infuriating. But Lord, staying connected to you is doable. So help us in that effort. Fill us with your Holy Spirit again and again, and lead us into the way everlasting, a way that will affect the world around us. In your awesome, precious, and powerful name we pray. Amen.